yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yeah, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now, walk the streets a-screaming now.
Greetings, all you 99 percenters. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. This is Alternative Visions. Okay, the main focus of today's show is I'm going to try to unpack for you the details of President-elect Biden's announced first economic stimulus program called, as he entitled it, American Rescue Plan. This is purportedly a $1.9 trillion stimulus coming on the wake of last month's Cash Act, which was the $908 billion. So let's just jump into this thing. Let me. It's quite complicated. There's a lot of money here. And once I describe the details, I'll have a few comments about is it soon enough here to make a difference in the first quarter U.S. GDP numbers? Or is it going to take a little while for most of the elements of this $1.9 trillion to actually hit the economy? What are the positives and negatives of this particular rescue plan? It's significant at $1.9 trillion for sure. So we're going to want to talk about that, and we'll go with that for the first part of the show, most of the show. But if I have time, and I think I might, I also want to give some comments on the political scenarios here with a follow-up to my piece of about a week or so ago. And this new piece is simply called What's Changed, January 6th, 1 week after. Okay, so that would be my comments on what the January 6th mob assault on the Capitol has changed in terms of the political equations and people's understanding of the situation here in the U.S. But we'll get to that after we talk about the American Rescue Plan. That's what the topic is, heads up here. Okay, jumping into that particular topic. The $1.9 trillion divides into four areas. I'm going to go slow here in case you want to write it down, because you know what's coming out in the mainstream media is just gobbledygook, because it is a very complicated, very detailed proposal here. They're not really representing very well what's really in this program. I was able to get a confidential summary here. So it's going to take some describing of the elements. So if you want to write them down, go ahead, and I'll try to go a little slower. Okay, so there's four areas, as I said. One is spending that has to do with the COVID vaccine rollout, and really for the schools as well, getting kids back into public schools, which is a big problem here, and they're finally realizing how big a problem. So the first part is $400 billion of vaccine and COVID program support and the schools. Another trillion dollars is called direct family relief. And that part, the major elements of which are the $1,400 checks, family checks per person, that will come out here, and the expanded unemployment benefits. Those two are the lion's share of that segment. But there are other measures and spending as well on rent assistance, food assistance, child care assistance, and four tax proposals there for consumers and households, and then some miscellaneous stuff like vets' health needs and substance abuse, so forth. So the second part, again, to summarize, $1 trillion, is called direct family leave, or relief, rather. And that's on top of the $400 billion for COVID vaccines and schools. A third area is called struggling communities support. That's $440 billion. And that's money for small businesses to help them reopen and for financing of small businesses. A big chunk of that $440 billion is for state and local government, emergency fund for state and local government, some money for local public transport, tribal governments. That's $440 billion. And the rest of it, which comes to, you know, tens of billions left over, is for modernizing technology and cybersecurity. I guess they figured, the government figured, given that urgent need, they'd sort of append that to this bill. It's really not that related to COVID relief. It's kind of spending that won't hit the economy very quickly. And there are elements of all of this which won't hit the economy very quickly, certainly not in time to do much about the first quarter of 2021, which is getting worse, by the way. As you probably have heard, we have a problem with significant rising unemployment once again, at least as reflected in the statistics. In December, of course, we had lost 140,000 jobs, first time since April that we're actually losing jobs. And the number is much greater than that for reasons we talked about, problems with the Labor Department's monthly figures. More accurately, we have rising unemployment benefit claims, first-time unemployment benefit claims here, week to week going on. Yesterday, it was 1.25 million more initial filings for unemployment benefits. 1.25 million. In other words, it's rising by hundreds of thousands every week. At the low point at the end of December was about 1 million. So since the end of December, weekly filings, unemployment, 1.25 million. And, of course, the numbers for consumer spending, the big chunk of the U.S. economy, weakened significantly in December. And we'll see how much more here, probably in November, rather. We'll see how much more in December when those numbers come out later this month. So, in short, the economy really softening, as I predicted last March, at the end of last year, 2020, and no doubt weakening continuing into January and the first quarter of this year. And the big question is, economically, will this significant, you got to admit it is a significant spending, really hit the economy in time, and how much? How much will actually get into the economy in this first quarter? Because, as I've said before, research arms like Chase Bank Research has predicted that we're going to have a double dip this particular quarter. So the economic situation is very ominous, and no doubt Biden knows that, and they've come out pretty aggressively here with this $1.9 trillion, which is the first of two parts of the stimulus. The second part will come after this, they say in February. We'll see whether they can do it that quickly, which will be an infrastructure spending plan. Now, infrastructure spending takes a long time to get into the economy. but it's certainly needed long term because the U.S. economy is a wreck here. And the American Rescue Plan, this $1.9 trillion, is a boost in the arm, a shot in the arm. Just as we're trying to give the people the vaccine in the arm, this is an economic vaccine, you might say, to keep the economy from deteriorating further, and then longer term follow up with a significant infrastructure spending plan. But it remains to be seen. You know, this is a proposal. This has to get through Congress. And I can tell you the Republicans are going to fight tooth and nail against this, you know, this kind of spending, because there's not that much for their big corporate buddies in this thing. In fact, nothing. There's some small business, additional money for small businesses, but it's not a medium and big business rescue plan, because they don't need the rescuing, as I've talked about numerous times in over the course of the last 6 months. Big corporations, meaning those with 500 workers or more employees, or you could say 5,000, 1,500, whatever that breaks out at, certainly don't need the money. They are so fat with cash. They are bloated pigs. And, you know, except for those companies like, you know, the airlines and so forth, they are so fat, they don't need any more. And I'm sure the Republicans are going to try to throw more money into this thing for them nonetheless. But the point is, it's going to take some time to get through it, to get this thing passed. And it's going to cause a lot of heartburn for those Republicans and pro-big business folks there in Congress. And we'll see how fast it can get through, how much it will be eviscerated, and how much unnecessary pro-business spending and tax cuts will be appended to it. Okay, we'll come back to those themes after I go through the details. So here are the details. Part one, the $400 billion for COVID spending, vaccines, and schools breaks down as follows. There's $20 billion for a national vaccination program to set up the centers for mass vaccination, mobile units, so they can go to more rural areas and vaccinate folks. The vaccination is supposed to be no charge, and Medicaid recipients and immigrants who aren't citizens, undocumented, are supposed to be eligible for this as well. So, national vaccination program worth $20 billion. There's another significant $50 billion for testing. You know, there's been virtually no testing throughout this whole period, amazingly. Now they're going to finally spend some money on testing, test kits, setting up school protocols for how to implement it. Free tests, testing going to nursing homes, prisons, and so forth. Hiring of 60,000 or so new healthcare workers. One of the problems, of course, is we just don't have the people to do the vaccination. In other words, if this were a war economy, we don't have the troops. So a vaccination and now tracing. Hiring tens of thousands of new healthcare workers, which isn't going to happen overnight, of course. Expanding community health centers, particularly on tribal lands. Setting up strike teams of healthcare workers to go to nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and prisons, prison mitigation program. Okay, so that's the testing. That's the $50 billion for testing. And most notably, it's supposed to be free tests and 60,000 new workers to go out there and vaccinate people and trace and so forth. And money for labs and that. So that's the $50 billion on top of the $20 billion for national vaccination program. There's $30 billion more for disaster relief, particularly for purchasing more personal protective equipment, PPE equipment. And that money, probably most of it, will go to reimburse states and cities and tribal governments for their purchase in the past of PPE. So it's kind of like a restoration fund, you might say, through the disaster relief fund, right? And states having used the National Guard and whatever. So that's $30 billion. That's a significant amount, through the disaster relief fund, which was drained, by the way, by Trump here back in September when he took roughly that amount of money, maybe a little bit more, was in it and used it to pay for, his $300 extended unemployment benefits for 5 weeks. He just imploded that fund. And now they're putting money back, and states and cities can draw on it to reimburse themselves. Another $10 billion for expansion of pandemic supplies to develop and purchase therapies. And some money, which isn't detailed here, for the U.S. Rejoining here international health groups. I guess that's the WHO, which Trump had pulled out of. I don't know for sure if that's the case, but there's a reference to international health groups with no dollar sign attached to it. Now, on top of this vaccination program, testing, disaster relief, pandemic supplies, and so forth, is $130 billion more to help reopen the schools. How will that money be spent? Well, obviously that will go to states as well, won't it? To reduce class sizes so there can be social distancing, to build more spaces, for kids when there's social distancing, ventilation investment in some of these schools, more janitors, more PPE, requiring a nurse in every school, busing, money to help busing, digital development in the schools, right? Especially for low-income communities, some tutoring, and plus the money for the disaster relief fund I mentioned will also help schools reopening. $35 billion more for higher education relief, especially to public and minority colleges. And supposedly that will provide $1,700 per student in aid as well. And another $5 billion on top of that $35 billion for education program support, which is looks like a kind of a general fund. So we're looking at a significant amount, about $170 billion spent on reopening the schools in the era of COVID here. That's significant. That's a large sum of money to help reopen the schools. There's a real problem with school reopening going on. A lot of politics being played. You got situations where some of the teachers' unions are using it to reopen their contracts and renegotiate them more favorably. You got administrations, school administrators, who are doing the same in terms of renegotiating with their states, trying to get more money here and. There are some in both of those groups who just want to keep it remote, at least partially remote for the students, which is really a disaster for K through 8. Those kids got to get back in the classroom. So $170 billion, there should be no excuse going back to school, particularly once kids get vaccinated here. That's a significant spending, but keep in mind that goes to local government, and that's on top of some of the testing money and disaster relief money. So those three sources provide, a couple hundred billion dollars here. for state and local governments. Local governments, in this case, we're talking about schools. Now, also part of the $400 billion, and once again, you know, the $170 billion for school reopening is the big chunk of that $400 billion, first part of the program. Other big chunks, you know, are testing and national vaccination disaster relief. But on top of that is emergency paid leave. Emergency paid leave for workers. And that looks like about $70 billion, although they didn't say exactly how much. This covers 14 weeks paid leave for people who have left their job because child care centers may have closed or their school closed. Or they're caring for a COVID patient, right? Or they're quarantined themselves. That's $1,400 per week maximum up to annual earnings of $73,000, right? Now, $73,000 a year covers three-fourths of all workers in this country. That was 75% of everybody is making $73,000 or less. So they will now provide $1,400 a week for people who have had, because of COVID, this is all COVID-related now, had to leave their job. And that's for 14 weeks, $1,400 a week maximum. Of course, it's scaled up based upon your income for 14 weeks. And this will be extended for the first time to the 2 million federal workers. Right? Employers will be required to pay this paid leave, and they will then be reimbursed by the government. And those employers who have fewer than 500 workers will get 100% reimbursed through tax credits. Okay, and so will state and local governments get reimbursed, more money for state and local governments here. Those elements constitute the $400 billion of the first of four parts of the American Rescue Plan. Again, heavily schools, COVID, vaccine-related, and emergency paid leave. The second part of the program is the direct family relief, and that's the lion's share. That's the $1 trillion on top of the $400 billion. Now, the $1 trillion breaks down as follows. The $2,000 checks, which are really $1,400 checks per person, because the $600 has been already provided from that December Cash Act, I think it was called. You know, that was the $908 billion toe in the water. would not really do the job here in the first quarter, as I pointed out. And now they recognize that as such. So that's going to be the lion's share, the $1,400 checks. And part of the lion's share will be the expansion, extension of unemployment benefits. Under the Cash Act, here in December, $908 billion, unemployment benefits were only extended for those exhausting them through March 31st of this year. In other words, it was a 3 months extension. What I understand is that unemployment benefits for those who have lost them or about to lose them will be extended through September of 2021. Unemployment benefits will include the supplemental $400 per week on top of the regular state benefit, and independent contractors, gig workers, freelancers, so forth, will be continued covered here with the $400 per week. There's about 8 million of those, and there's about 5 million, they estimate, of people who have exhausted their state unemployment benefits. Remember, there's two programs here for unemployment benefits. There's a regular state program, and then there's the new program for gig workers and freelancers and so forth that was introduced with the CARES Act last March. Unemployment benefits will be extended here through September of this year. And there's also money for work sharing for small businesses. What's work sharing? That's where employer can say, well, I had to cut the hours of my workers here, and they're losing income. So, and that happened, of course, in restaurants a lot, so that the government would reimburse the business if they did not cut their hours. And that's a little bit of a scam because, you know, they simply say, well, I'm going to cut the hours if you don't give me more money, and then I won't cut the hours. And then they get the money, and some of them probably do cut the hours anyway. Well, that work sharing is for workers whose hours are reduced and therefore their income and not really getting laid off. So, you know, the $400 per week and the continuation through September and the work sharing is part of this second segment, element of the direct family relief. The other big one being the $1,400 checks. I haven't been able to find out how much of the $1 trillion is going towards the $1,400 checks and expanded unemployment benefits, but I would assume well over $500 billion will go for that. The $600 checks that went out in December, or were passed with the Cash Act in December, amounted to about $160 billion cost here. So, you know, if you're going to come out with something that's $1,400 more, you're going to be over $500 billion more to cover that, or about that. And then the expanded unemployment benefits is a large portion as well, and we'll see how much that will be based upon how many people are unemployed through September here. But certainly we're talking about $100 billion, you know, at least or more. So those are the two big parts of the direct family relief, but not the whole picture. There is money for rent assistance and extending the moratorium on rent evictions. You know, under the December Cash Act, the moratorium was only extended through January here. Now, you got to understand that the moratorium doesn't mean all rents. That has to do only with what the federal government can insist on a moratorium for rental units that somehow get federal subsidy and support. There are a lot of rental units that do not. It's estimated in this American Rescue Plan that there's, you know, one in five renters here are in arrears in their rent payments, one in five, which is about 9 million or so. Also, you know, the Act shows clearly that one in 10 people who have a mortgage are behind on their mortgage. Whether that's a behind or just still participating in the forbearance is unclear. But, you know, you got about 20 million people out there, renters and homeowners, who are struggling to make those payments. Well, they're going to provide $25 billion in rent assistance here. Well, you know, that's maybe barely a third of the $70 billion that I found referenced way back in November of people who were in arrears just on their rent. You know, so they will provide some of rent assistance here, $25 billion, and that you know will occur through the rest of this year, I believe. Right? No, through September as well. The eviction moratorium is through September 2021. Now, in addition to the $25 billion, there's another $5 billion fund here to help people pay their electric and water bills. And another $5 billion to help find places for the homeless, you know, hotel conversions and so forth here, right? And some money for legal assistance for folks to avoid eviction, right? And some money for states to develop clean energy for those folks in disadvantaged areas to lower their energy bills. So, you know, $35 billion for rent assistance and moratorium on evictions, at least part of the rents, through September, is part of this second direct family relief provision of $1 trillion. Now, there's also more food assistance spending. You know, one in seven households in the U.S. are food insecure, and minority households, one in five. That's a huge number. They're going to spend another $13 billion on food assistance. They're going to continue the 15% increase in the food stamps that was introduced in December, about 40 million people on that right now. That 15%, extra 15%, will continue through September of this year as well. A lot of these provisions, you know, are through September 30th, 2021. In addition to increasing the 15% for SNAP, as it's called, food stamps, SNAP, there's another $3 billion for a program called WIC, which is women and children here, to increase the enrollment. It's a food support program, right? There's some FEMA resources that will go directly to restaurants, right, and help laid off restaurant workers. The normal state match for food stamps is suspended here, so the states don't have to put money in. Just the federal government will. And there's $1 billion of that $13 billion that go to U.S. territories like Puerto Rico and the Pacific Islands. $13 billion for food assistance. Now, part of this bill also calls for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, but that's not calculated in this trillion, from what I can tell. That's going to have to be passed separate legislation, I presume. And boy, will the Republicans fight that one, raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. A lot of states have done it already, but the federal minimum wage is at $7.25, which is just outrageous. A call on Congress to pass $15 minimum wage. Also a call on Congress to require employers to pay hazard pay for some of these jobs that, depending on the company, are clearly COVID risk kind of jobs. But that's just a call. That's not in the $1 trillion, from what I can tell, any more than minimum wage is in the $1 trillion. So the $1,400 checks, the expanded unemployment benefits, rent assistance, food assistance, and the other big area here, another big area, is child care. Right? $25 billion to help child care providers, right? One half of all child care providers, to prevent closings of child care, to help them with their operation costs, with purchasing PPE equipment and paying wages to their workers. Significant, $25 billion to help child care providers. There are four measures as part of this $1 trillion that fall in the category of what's called tax cuts. There's a family child care help tax credit. In other words, to help pay families, households, to help pay for child care. That's $15 billion for primarily caregivers, essential workers, unemployed, women who have had to leave the labor force. Mm-hmm. There was $10 billion provided for that in the December CARES Act, but this is increased by $15 billion more. Right now, that $15 billion more goes to families with child care needs. That's on top of the $25 billion to child care providers. Another tax credit is to expand the already existing child care cost tax credit. That's different than child care tax credit. This is a child care cost. In other words, child care in general already exists in the tax code. This is also designed to help families help pay for child care. They can claim on your tax, your 2020 taxes, up to half of the cost for child care for children under 13 years. Okay, up to $4,000 per child, children under 13 years, half of the total cost, right? If your annual income is less than $125,000, okay? Half of your child care costs can be taken off your taxes, the tax credit. That's the normal child tax credit. Now, remember, on top of that is the $25 billion child care tax credit. One is just having kids, and the other is child care for the kids. The regular child tax credit is increased here as well for $3,000 per child to $3,600 for kids under 6 years. And you can add 17-year-olds now. So the whole child care tax credit system provisions, you know, are increased significantly here by tens of billions for families, right? And finally, the other fourth tax issue is the earned income tax credit for childless adults, right? Those who are very low income here. You could get a maximum of $530 on your taxes, off on your taxes. Now that's raised to $1,500 with a $21,000 annual threshold instead of $16,000. Right, and no reduction of your earned income tax credit due to a fall in your 2020 income. $1 billion increase in cash assistance to welfare, right? TANF, TANF. Some money, and they did say how much will go here in the $1 trillion for helping people pay for their health care. Subsidizing COBRA, C-O-B-R-A. COBRA, of course, is that program where if you get laid off, you can continue your company health insurance coverage by paying the premium yourself. Usually it's so expensive that you can't do it, especially if you have no job. But the government will subsidize that to some extent here, up to 8.5% of your income premiums they'll pay. Help pay the premiums on your COBRA. There's $4 billion for substance abuse, $20 billion significantly for vets' health care, and even some money for domestic violence programs due to COVID here. So just to recap this $1 trillion direct family relief part of this American Rescue Plan, hundreds of billions for $1,400 per person checks, expanded unemployment benefits through September, rent assistance, $35 billion, and eviction moratorium through September as well, and a help for folks trying to avoid eviction, $13 billion for food assistance, both SNAP and other programs here. $25 billion for child care, money both to providers and to the family. Some improved tax cuts here for households for child care. And then subsidy for your continuing your employer health care and vets and miscellaneous other. That's the $1 trillion. Now, again, that's on top of the $400 billion for reopening schools and the COVID and vaccine and emergency paid leave for workers, the first part. Now, the third part is called, of the American Rescue $1.9 trillion, is called Struggling Community Support. That's another $440 billion. Another $440 billion. On top of the trillion, on top of the $400 billion. Now, how is that breakdown? Where does that go? Looks like about $50 billion to small businesses to help them reopen. Now, remember, that money to small businesses comes on top of $284 billion passed in the December Cash Act, right? The $908 billion in December, $284 billion of that went to small business. And that was on top of $525 billion in last March's CARES Act for small business. So $525 billion plus $284 billion in December, and now another $50 billion for small businesses. It's a significant amount of money here, right? You're talking about $900 billion trillion for small businesses. There's a crisis going on. They admit that 400,000 small businesses have permanently closed. The rest of them, their revenue has fallen by a third here, probably more. It looks like this money, $50 billion, is going to target, though, minority and women-owned businesses, which tend to be smaller and tend to have gotten lost in these previous bills, providing grants. And this is grants, $15 billion in direct grants to small business to help them reopen. A lot of that will go to restaurants and bars, I'm sure. But on top of that, another $35 billion, top of the $15 billion for reopen, another $35 billion in loans, low-interest loans to small businesses, probably through the small business agency here. Now, this is a loan program. This is a financing program. In other words, it looks like the banks with the SBA are going to provide, are going to be given $35 billion. And, the argument is that could generate as much as $175 billion in loans, low-interest loans to small businesses, distributed here, and looks like through state and local tribal governments and what they call nonprofits. Now, keep in mind, most of the, quote, nonprofits in all these bills since March means churches. Yeah, that's where most of that money goes, for nonprofits, churches, and some arts groups. $50 billion for small business reopening, $15 billion of that is in grants, and $35 billion of that is to fund up to $175 billion in loans, low-interest loans. Most folks don't understand that when ever since March they say, oh, we're giving $500 billion in loans to this group or that group and so forth, that's an assumption that the banks will generate multiples in terms of loans based upon the money they're given by the federal government, the Treasury or the Fed. Now, this is called fractional reserve banking. You give the banks a certain amount of money, and they can multiply that in loans outstanding by up to tenfold, usually. So it's not really necessary a grant and definite money. It's loan money, and we don't know how many of the loans will actually be taken up. But this money will go through state and local government, too, which is another pot here for state and local government. So $50 billion, small business reopening, partially grants and partially new loans. The lion's share of this third part here, struggling community support, is called the $440 billion. The lion's share of that, however, is $350 billion to state and local government emergency funds. Boy, is that going to cause the Republicans' heartburn. Keep in mind, there's a lot of money in this package flowing to state and local and tribal governments here. You know, a lot of the COVID and school reopening, you know, that's money that goes to state and local governments, right? Food assistance, even the unemployment benefits are distributed by the states mostly. The cash assistance and so forth. That's all going to government, local government, small business reopening. But on top of all of that is this $350 billion fund. Looks like it's targeting the retention of first responders and essential workers. That's where it's supposed to go, to keep workers, public sector workers, on the job to help distribute vaccines, to do the testing, to keep teachers, in school working, right? Higher ed, other services, you know, supposed to be, looks like it's targeting retaining jobs, because the state and local governments are starting to lay off a significant number of people. I think it was like 50,000 in December, which is, you know, if you're going to ramp up here, state and local government, because it's state and local government that implements these federal programs, you know. Most federal workers don't do this. They just, push the paper around in many cases, make sure that the money gets out there. But it's the state and local government that implements these federal programs. You know, there's 2 million federal workers, but there's 18 million state and local government public workers. So if you're really going to attack this COVID thing and get the economy going, you need to make sure that you don't have layoffs of state and local government. And the idea here economically is to boost employment in state and local government in order to make sure not only that the COVID thing is attacked appropriately, but to boost the economy through state and local government spending, right? So this $350 billion looks like it's targeting employment. And that, of course, is in addition to $50 billion here to hire 60,000 more healthcare workers. Right? That would be at the local level as well, probably most of them. In public sector as well. Now, on top of the $350 billion for this emergency fund for local government and small business reopening, $50 billion, that's $400 billion of the $440 billion. We've got $20 billion to support local public transport. Keep the subway and the bus workers on the job here, because if you don't, how are you going to get essential workers to their job, right? People in food and food distribution and so forth. You know, the big cities, they depend on local transport, trains, subways, buses, et cetera. So $20 billion there, and $20 billion to tribal governments as well to be used for the pandemic response. That's the $440 billion. The third leg here, struggling community support. Once again, to recap, $50 billion small business reopening, especially minority and women businesses now, $350 billion state and local government emergency fund, keep workers on the job, local $20 billion local public transport, and $20 billion for tribal governments. That leaves several tens of billions left over in the $1.9 trillion. And that's going to go for cybersecurity, hiring more cyber experts in the government, upgrading General Services Administration technology, right? Expanding networks, federal networks. Yeah, just kind of a catch-all. And also $700 million about looks like integrating federal security, cybersecurity, with local civilian nets. In other words, local police here, much more technological integration here. between the two levels. Okay, so that is the, you know, the details of the bill. That's the details of the bill. Just to recap quickly once again, you know, we have four sections of this bill called the American Rescue Plan, $1.9 trillion. First section, COVID vaccines, and that is $400 billion, right? Testing, vaccination, acceleration, disaster relief, buy more PPE, big chunk to open schools, money for emergency paid leave for those who are negatively impacted by it all, and $1 trillion for direct family relief, mostly the $1,400 checks and expanded unemployment benefits through September, $35 billion for rent assistance, moratoria extended through September, more money for food assistance, more money for child care providers to keep them going here. Significant tax cuts for households here for child care and for just children in general, low income. Subsidy for COBRA, $20 billion for vets and miscellaneous. That's the $1 trillion. The third leg, $440 billion for communities. $50 billion in grants and loans here to help small businesses reopen, particularly women and minority targeting. $350 billion in a state and local government emergency fund to keep workers on the job here that are necessary for this COVID thing, and money for local public transport and tribal governments, and then, you know, a slush fund here for modernizing technology and cybersecurity, as they say, in the federal government. Okay, that's the $1.9 trillion. You heard it here. I will be writing an article here probably tonight and post it on my blog, jackrasmus.com, and then sending it to the blogs I usually write for, like Counterpunch, CNET, for them to post as well. So this weekend, look for the piece on my blog, jackrasmus.com, which will pretty much just say what I've talked about, with more commentary perhaps about, you know, will this have an effect? What part of these proposals here are going to get into the economy real quick? Because, you know, not all of it will get into GDP at the same time. And none of it will get unless they pass this thing pretty quick. And we'll see how much it changes, how much is deleted, and how much is stuck onto this that won't have much effect, but will benefit big businesses. That remains to be seen here. We'll see how fast they can push it through. But you can see how, you know, this is a priority here. The Democrats realize it, and they're finally coming up, you know, with a significant number. You know, I've been talking since last March when this thing broke that, look, this is a war against the virus, and it's going to take $4 trillion to fight it. Now, that was $4 trillion last March that I proposed. You know, that would have been a war spending program. And by the way, just to digress, talk about war, you know, in another couple of weeks, we're going to have 400,000 dead in less than a year due to COVID. 400,000. World War II in three, in almost 4 years. We lost 400,000. So in less than a year, we're losing 400,000 people compared to far worse than World War II. And did we have a war economy? No, not at all. Did we have a war president? Certainly not. Right? And, you know, taking credit, as Trump tries to do, for the Pfizer vaccine, you know, people got to understand, Pfizer developed this independently, privately. They were not part of the Warp Speed program. They took no money from the government. So it wasn't Trump that developed this vaccine. He can't take credit for it. You know? Now, they're going to get to make a lot of money, and they're going to get paid money for it, but they, meaning Pfizer, but the money to develop the vaccine did not come from the U.S. government. Okay. So, you know, important digression. Keep in mind, boy, we lost a lot of people here, and the war's not over. First year of the war, we clearly lost. You know, we did not win this war. Now, maybe with this spending here, we may have a fighting chance, you know, with the vaccines and the spending. Because you got to get the vaccines out there. If you don't spend, you can't get it out there. $400 billion, you know, for the vaccine programs and so forth is significant. $1 trillion here to, you know, put a cushion under everybody that's lost, particularly unemployed and households and small businesses. And then, you know, another $440 billion for communities. It's significant, $1.9 trillion, if they get it through. But how much of that is going to really hit the economy right away? It's going to take time to ramp up, do the hiring, and therefore that part of the spending. But certainly the testing, the same thing. It's going to take a while to ramp that up. It's not going to happen in 2 weeks. It's not going to happen in 30 days, 60 days maybe. We'll start seeing some effect. In other words, at the end of this first quarter, given the bureaucracy, given the fact you have to pass this legislation, given the lags, fiscal lags, as they say, of all of this, it's not going to get here in time for the first quarter. We may still have a significant decline or weakening of the U.S. economy first quarter. But second quarter should pick up some. You know, we could have a double dip here first quarter and end after just one quarter here that I've always been predicting we would in this Great Recession 2.0. So in any event, this is, the picture here. I don't think a lot of this money is going to get into the economy very quickly. Not going to get into the economy very quickly. Okay. Hopefully it will. Hopefully it will, but it doesn't look like it will immediately here. Some of it will. You know, the unemployment assistance, the checks, if they can get them out, that will be all very positive. And they will be ramping up the spending here, no doubt, on, the COVID situation. So tax cuts, that won't have an effect right away. You know, that will be second quarter effect, really. Some of the money for child care providers will have an effect here for small business reopening. State and local governments, I hope they can hire people and keep essential workers. You know, last time in 2008-09, they kind of sat on $300 billion and hoarded it. We'll see if they spend it this time. That's the picture, pretty much. It looks like I don't have time to talk about the politics of, quote, what's changed a week after the mob assault on the U.S. Capitol. But I'm going to be writing an article on that, too, over the weekend. So check out my blog, jackrasmus.com, for the piece, What's Changed Here? Well, I'll talk about, politically in this country, we've gone through a threshold here, and political consciousness, and particularly the beginning of the split in the Republican Party is a topic in that particular article. So check out my blog for What's Changed Under Politics, and check out my blog before that for this recount of what we're talking about here today on Biden's American Rescue Plan. Okay, I think that's just about it. I'm very close to the 1 hour. It took a longer time than I thought. Hopefully, you can, if you need to listen to this again, if you're listening to it real time here, you can go to the podcast and listen to it again, which is alternativevisions.podbean.com, there where the thing will be podcast. Okay, that's it for today. Streets are screaming.